different next year because Dobbs is a better quarterback right now. But I'd like to see him stay and have a chance to win the job his junior season. He could be the starter at Tennessee for 2 years in the SEC. The surrounding parts are going to be better by then. He's going to have a great offensive line. He's going to have weapons all around him. And yeah, you might miss out on some of Dobbs' elusiveness, but I think he's a more accurate passer. So I think some of that stuff could even out. I'd like to see him stay.
Back to our phones we go. If you want to get in the hunt and in the mix with us, I remind you that our friends at Smartway helping present the action. That's why we say the Smartway Dalton Behring Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction. It's a place where you're the star of the game. We've had tons and tons of phone calls today. And I'm getting ready to tweet out, for those of you who follow me on Twitter, at Tony Basilio, a picture that the Vol Colonel just sent me of today's field, and there are so many colors in it.
Kind of a field rainbow type thing going on?
Yeah, wait till you see this. They have a lot of paint in it, but there are all kinds of chunks in the field too. It literally, Cinco, looks like the lunch crowd at S&S Cafeteria.
Interesting. Hey, look, I mean, that place looked like they just had a tractor pull,
yep.
You know, at halftime. It's silly. And you know what? I know we're making fun of it, but, you know, if I'm North Texas, they don't have a lot to hang their hat on. Or if I'm Kentucky, you know, if I'm any of these teams, I'm complaining because that has to factor into my play calling.
Yes.
And that's ridiculous.
Plus, it's not safe for my student athlete, which is another point that you've made. We've gotten away with it so far. That's all of a sudden we have a dangerous field for some reason. I can't figure that out. And now here comes Alabama. Look at this. He's gone. You got to be freaking kidding me.
That's your Heisman Trophy winner right there.
This game's a beatdown,
and Mississippi State's controlled the game.
Should be about 21-13, something like that.
Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. But GoSmartway.net is not disgusting, ladies and gentlemen. They're at 8416 Kingston Pike, out near Bearden High School. Everything for your home they've got for you, and on any budget that you have. That's the beauty of what they do. Furniture, appliances, electronics, cell phones, tires, you name it, they've got it. When it comes to phones, they've got a full line from Samsung, LG, Blue, iPhones available. Best part, if you can't afford one of the new hot phones or a very expensive smartphone, you can get one from Smartway on a lease purchase agreement. You'll be able to afford it over time. Take advantage of the 120-day same as cash for items less than $9.99. Choose to pay your way and roll with it at Smartway. Go online at gosmartway.net and learn more. Check them out at 8416 Kingston Pike as we go back to our busy phones today. And we'll get our next call in with us as Dr. Sinclair is on board. And let's get Sean, who's listening to us in California this afternoon, in here with us. Sean, hello.
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Hey, great to be here, man. Good to talk to you.
Hey, a couple things. One, did you see what the North Texas official Twitter handle tweeted out?
That, yep.
That's how embarrassing this is.
Yep.
North Texas, you know, Texas State that you were calling them earlier this week, they're making fun of our field.
Yes.
Hello.
I was with you up until probably last week as far as the field goes. At this point, I don't care. Get something that's not, because eventually it's going to end a kid's career. At this point, we're talking about the player's safety.
But here's what I know. They haven't consulted with those experts on campus till Wednesday of this week. Why? We all knew. Everybody knew that was an issue. It was an issue last year.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Okay, so here you have a coach that takes care of everything, okay? And the guy doesn't miss a trick. He gets a lot of credit from me. Why are you letting the field sag? It doesn't make any sense unless you want field turf, which is what people tell me behind the scenes. That's the only thing that makes any sense to me. Now, I'll say this. Dave Hart doesn't want field turf. So Dave Hart, I'm kind of with Dave Hart for a second here, and it's ironic because the field turf today that I just tweeted out, the picture I just tweeted out from the Vol Colonel, does look like Sean and Callie, the lunch crowd at the S&S cafeteria on a Wednesday afternoon when they got all-you-can-drink coffee.
It really does.
Awful.
I mean, it's awful.
And, awful.
I mean, and I hate to call people names, but the only thing I can really think of is to call somebody an idiot for not getting people out there, I don't know, years ago when we were talking about this. I mean, because this has been a topic of discussion for years, correct me if I'm wrong. I always started listening the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think the last couple of years has been... That's what's ironic about it is everybody talks about the building. The way that extension of the skyboxes has been there for over 10 years. The back end zone, as Russell said, has been there for about 20. The chair back seats up there where you used to be able to see into the hill and all that. That's been there since the mid-90s. So my question is, Sean... All of a sudden, what's changed? Well, our coach has changed.
Yeah.
What else has changed? Well,
I think you hit it.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. You tell me.
It's been a go back and the Vanderbilt game where Vanderbilt came in here and won. That was Butch's first. The last Dooley game when Tennessee won against Vandy on the Eric Gordon return. I mean,
yeah.
That was 2012.
Field was an issue then.
Yeah. It's
okay.
Been, I mean, it's been. I want to say. Going on 5 years, maybe even back to the Fulmer days.
Sean, how long's Bobby Campbell been gone? I gotta make some phone calls on that, Cinco. Do you remember?
I really don't remember, but it's, you know, it's not one person's fault.
No,
I mean, it's got to be a lack of attention, a lack of importance, or whatever. It's not because Butch wants it green all the year. It's not because of this, that, or the other. Something's fundamentally going wrong over there.
Yep.
And again, I want to stress again, I know people will shake their head when I say this about over in Europe, Scotland, et cetera.
Yep.
The way those stadiums are made, it's much like just a bigger version of the old Cowboy Stadium where they have a hole because all of the stands are protected by, you know, a roof, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically all the field is exposed, but when the sun's coming around, so, It's not the sun. That's nonsense.
And in UK, what could have less sun than something in London?
Exactly.
I mean, the sun doesn't shine there.
Well, we all know excuses. We all know the old saying about excuses. I mean, we don't need any more excuses. At this point, we need results because it's going to. I mean, I don't know if you saw what some of the former players were tweeting out, like Leonard Little earlier.
Yeah.
He tweeted out the alumni is not going to accept this anymore. I mean, and they're especially former players.
Good.
I mean, they know what kind of danger that's put these kids in. So,
I think the shame level of calling some attention to it this week, as some folks did, and we were a part of that. But I think it finally got them to get on the phone to those guys over there. They have world class experts who consult with Soldier Field in Chicago. They consult in Denver. They consult in San Francisco. They consult in Dodger Stadium. They consult with different five-star golf courses, including several U.S. Open courses, and across the pond, a couple of venues across the pond I found out that Cinco's even talking about. So surely they have the wherewithal to get this thing fixed if that's Tennessee's end goal, to get this thing fixed, which I don't know whether it is their end goal or not.
Well, it's definitely long overdue. But I also want to bring up Quentin Dormady. I'm with you. I think he's going to be special. I'm sitting here in my sofa watching the game. So that's take that for what it's worth. But I mean that the kind of arm talent that he has, and the only thing that I get concerned with is we haven't exactly seen this staff play to the level of or coach to scheme around the level of talent that they have. So as far as that goes, that's what concerns me. So it is scary if you think about him if he were to transfer somewhere else like Georgia or Bama where it's a more pro-style offense. Because, I mean, I think if you put him under center, let him fake it to one of them talented backs, man, that's a scary proposition if you're Tennessee. So But I think, I mean, you saw it even today rolling out, man, the kind of talent he has in his arm is pretty incredible. So
I thought that was an insanely great pass. That was one of the probably the prettiest throw we saw all year. If it wasn't the throw he threw to Preston Williams earlier in the year, those are the two prettiest passes of the year. Not that I'm trying to rile up the Josh Dobbs crowd, because I'm really not. Dobbs' strength is his heart and his legs and his leadership ability. It's not his arm. It's not his arm. And if that offends people, I'm sorry, but that's the way I see it. It's his heart, the strength of his legs, and his ability to lead his football team. It's not his arm.
Yeah, completely agree with you 100% on that.
And he has great heart, and he has tremendous legs. He's got tremendous legs.
I mean, and you saw it today, too. He was trying to pick up his team to get them going.
Yes, but he was.
I really would have loved to see Dobbs, especially because, I mean, you can see him hobbling around out there. Really would have loved to see him have to come out after that first drive because, I mean, despite his leadership and everything, I don't think that his heart was really in it today. Same thing with Hurd, man. Get Kelly and get Abernathy out there.
Cinco, what do you say to that? I agree with our caller, Sean and Callie. I said it earlier, Cink. If it's me, Dobbs maybe plays a couple series, and I just let my kids play because I'm playing a team that can't play. And I'm going to rest everybody because I need them for next week.
A couple things. Butch Jones doesn't have the stones to throw Dormady in there with a game that can, you know, go on a play or two. And most coaches don't, to be fair. But going back to Quinn Dormady, I mean, again, I'm not a hater. I think in the right offense, I think he could be really good. But when you talk about arm talent, he's not even close to the level of Tyler Bray or Eric Ainge. I don't know what you guys are seeing that I'm not. He's got a nice arm, but he doesn't have a great arm. And you were talking about he was playing against North Texas State today. I think if you put him in the right position, I think he could be very good. But to change the offense here to something that would suit his abilities, you're going to have significantly better play from your offensive line. And the only two teams really that have been able to run that kind of offense has been the Pete Carroll USC offense, and they were putting out first-round offensive linemen every year, and Alabama's. And we don't even have marginally close to that kind of offensive line talent to run that kind of offense.
Anything else for us, Sean?
Callie? I appreciate the time, Tony.
Hey, man, be blessed.
Great show, as always.
Be blessed. Thank you. 16 past the hour. Vol Colonel said that he thinks Bobby Campbell walked out of here in 2010, which I think is right. And he has been missed. There's no doubt about that. That guy was certainly talented with what he did. I mean, that field was immaculate when he was here. Just absolutely
immaculate. He's a great guy, too, by the way. Great guy.
17 past the hour. Now, when you say don't have the stones, blah, blah, blah. Sean, they played a team that got beat 7 touchdowns by Portland State. A team that cannot play. That team today, they wouldn't be able to score on Tennessee if you played 15 quarters over there.
Well, I rest by what I said. He didn't do it last week against South Carolina. Didn't give Dormady any time. And that should have been a done deal. And he didn't go up till it was a 4-score difference. They're 24-0. Till he got Dormady in. And Dobbs was doing nothing. I mean, he was doing absolutely
nothing.
No,
he wasn't. No, he was bouncing. He's banged up. He's been through it, man.
Yeah, and to be fair to Butch Jones, I don't know of any other, unless he just got sick
Agreed.
And tired of something that Dobbs was doing wrong,
mm-hmm.
or was being, you know, just an idiot out there, I don't know another coach in the world that would do that.
Agreed.
So I'm not ripping Jones on that.
I agree with that. Alabama takes a commanding lead into the halftime, 21-3. It's disgusting. In a game that should be at least 21-17, or really they should be losing. Let's go back to our phones. After Cinco, Houston Crest here in about 10 minutes. If you want to get in with us, 865-200-5402. Rusty followed by Lee. Rusty, hello.
What is up, Tony B?
Hey, Rusty.
A lot of stuff to maybe try to get to here. Start off with, I don't know if that's maybe flag football that TCU's playing, but if it is, I think Ole Miss must have been playing water polo last year. And I don't know if Dormady if he can't play in this offense, I'm not sure he would look any different in the Trayvon Boykin TCU offense. That's just one man's opinion. And I'm not saying Dorman can't play in either of them. I'm just saying that he's got as much ability to play in this one as he does TCU. They don't do much different than what we do, except they run a little more zone read and don't try to hide their quarterback from getting hurt as much as we do with Dobbs.
Cinco, your thoughts?
I mean, anything's possible. I just don't think that I think people are hearing me say something as a criticism of Quentin Dorberty, and that's not the case. I just don't think his talents lend themselves to the offensive game plays that Butch Jones and his offensive coordinator are calling. I think if you don't have a threat of a run in this offense, in this conference, I think you'll have people stack the line, and Jalen Hurd, they'll go nowhere.
And what about Rusty, about Kolaris, how Butch Jones said, I don't need a running quarterback to run my offense, but yet, I mean, a guy like Kolaris in this league would have gotten eaten for lunch, wouldn't he? Just a big statue?
No, Kolaris actually was more athletic than people realize. They ran him quite a bit up there. He wasn't Josh Dobbs. He wasn't, I don't know, Trayvon Boykin. He wasn't Marcus Mariota or Johnny Manziel. But they ran him pretty good bit. And he's a 5'11", 6-foot guy who was pretty stocky, could take a little bit more body on him than say, you know, Dobbs being his length. So that they ran him quite a bit when he was at Cincinnati. That, I don't think the issue is, can we run with Dorman? Can we use that? Because I think Jones would be much happier if his quarterback carried it three times a ball game.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that Quentin Dorminey is significantly more physically talented than Patrick Toles? I don't.
I think he's significantly more talented than Bo Wallace.
Well, I asked you about Patrick Toles.
I think he's in the same vicinity. I think Toles is a little thicker kid. Toles is, 240, 250. I think throwing the ball, and I think mind and decision-making, it's yet to be determined, but I've not seen many guys that make worse decisions than Patrick Toles. And I do think a kid that was fairly successful at Ole Miss the last couple years, I do think Dorman is as or more talented throwing the ball and running an offense than he is.
I'll go with that.
And I think he's every bit arm talent on the same page as Eric Ainge, on the same page as Casey Clawson. And you're right, he doesn't have Tyler Bray's arm. Hopefully, he doesn't have Tyler Bray's head.
Well, I'll without question disagree with that.
What? Does Tyler Bray?
Well, I think you're selling Ainge short. Ainge had every bit the arm that Tyler Bray had.
I think Dorman throws a really nice ball. I think the throw to Josh Smith was as pretty as a throw as we've seen all year, as Tony said earlier. I don't want to get stuck in this mud too much.
Oh, sure, sure. No, and I respect your opinion.
I and yours as well. I believe that the offense would be tailored much different if our quarterback was a throw-first quarterback. And I think hopefully we would attack the middle of the field more with a quarterback that they felt was more accurate and didn't spell a lot of balls like Dobbs does. And I think that's probably why we don't throw down the center much, because we're afraid we would miss the tight end and throw it to the free safety a whole lot with this current quarterback. And I think if our quarterback could hit those throws, the running game might get the same advantage that the running quarterback gives by backing the linebackers up a little bit and not letting everybody play downhill towards the line of scrimmage, which limits what Hurd and Kamara do. If we got the quarterback that can hit the seam route, that can hit the deep dig, that can hit the skinny post, that might help the running game a little bit. And I think that's what we're lacking in this quarterback. And I think right now what we saw in the second half of South Carolina and what we saw basically all day today was both of those teams figured out we were trying to hide Dobbs and not let him take any hits running the football. And once that happens, they're just not gonna, the defensive end isn't going to respect him, and they're going to bring linebackers and that backside contain end are going to crash down the running game, and it makes us bogged down. Now, when we turn Dobbs loose, a.k.a. down 21 points to Georgia, and let him run, let him throw down the center of the field to Ethan Wolf and Alex Ellis, I could get a couple big passes in that ballgame. When we do that, suddenly we can move the ball at will. That's what happened today, and that's what happened last week in the second half.
And you know what, Rusty? That's why I say I would much rather have seen Tennessee take him after a couple series, because he wasn't going to run the ball today.
No, he was clearly.
Let the other kid play and run your offense, score some points, get the cover for your fans. Let's have a fun homecoming game. Because if you're not going to run him, and I'm not slighting him,
if you're not going to run him,
you might as well not have him out there.
I said, me and you talked about it numerous times. When he's running the ball, when he's keeping it, our backs have more room to run, clearly, and our receivers end up being more open. It reminds me, when he's truly running downfield with the ball, when he's keeping it every third read, suddenly the routes become so much more open, and it's like what Oregon was doing with Mariota and Darren Thomas. When those guys keep the ball a few times, suddenly you see the pass routes become so much more easy to hit. You don't have to be accurate. You just got to be able to throw it in an 8-foot window. It's so much easier when he's running the ball. And when he's not, you're right. When it was 17-0, we all knew the game was over. I mean, and lo and behold, you're right. It would have been a real gutsy move by Butch to have put Dormady in a 3-score ball game, 17-0. That would have been really, really odd for any coach across the country to do that, to say, you know what, the game's over, we're doing it. But lo and behold, Dobbs almost threw them 14 points today. He came really close. If they had a couple guys that could catch, they could have had pick sixes when it was 17-0. So it's not like Dormady would have been, you know, giving them the game away by putting him in that early, but I do agree that it would have been really, really shocking to put him in. As far as field turf, as far as grass, as far as what we see down there, we all know it's bad down there, and there's no excuse for it. There's other places who have colder weather right now than we do, and their field's in much better shape. I'm like you guys. I grew up loving grass. I grew up being so thankful in 94, 95 when we took the turf up and put grass down. The last year I played organized football was probably 03 when field turf was just getting popular. And I said, it looks terrible. I'm not going to play on it. I'm going to hate it. And I go out there and I'm playing on it. And I could not believe how good it is. It really, really is. If you don't like the way it looks because it looks too neat, it looks too fake, it looks too pretty, like it does in Kentucky. Every blade of grass looks like it's bright green, and it doesn't look like grass where it fades at the time of the year. But by gosh, it feels so good to run and cut on. You never feel like you're going to slip no matter what the conditions are. So I do see why the players would probably prefer it.
That's really interesting. Well, I guess we're going to have a fast football team, so speed kills.
And another thing, you know what's really weird about the field conditions right now? When you have bad field conditions, it generally helps the lesser talented team. Like when Notre Dame used to bring good teams to their field,
yep,
and they would let the grass
water
it knee high.
Yes, exactly right. They'd water that field. That's exactly what they'd slow you down.
Yeah, because they knew they didn't have the athletes, but if the field was slower, it was an equalizer. Well, that's what we've done this last 2 weeks with North Texas and South Carolina. We've evened the playing field for our opponents on our home field.
Cinco, is that not a great take right there? Cinco.
Oh, I can see that being a factor. I don't have experience playing on something like that, and I too think it looks cheesy. But you know, who am I to argue if the players prefer that? I can't speak to the carcinogenic effects that some people are talking about
right
now. I don't know anything about that, but you know, if players prefer it, but you know, I don't know how it. You know, my only reference is the old Neyland turf. And you could slide on there and your whole forearm's gone. There was such grip that, you know, with those turf shoes, kids would come off and their whole feet would be blisters. You peel off the whole sole of their, I mean, seriously, I've seen that.
You're right.
Plus also, you know, there's all that stuff, you don't know what's in there. Like, and I'm not trying to be an extremist, like, if there's MRSA on it or something, who knows? You know, there's nothing organic there. It just sits there. But if the players prefer it, they're the ones that make the decision, in my book.
I'm with you. I played a lot of ball games on the AstroTurf at the Mini Dome. I ran a lot of just 40-yard dashes testing at the Mini Dome on that AstroTurf. Straight line running, never hitting the ground, and waking up the next day with my hips and knees so sore I couldn't stand it just from running on the old AstroTurf. Because it gave differently. It wasn't natural. It felt really weird. I don't know what it might do to your lungs, and et cetera, from the ground up tires that make the little pebbles that are basically what replaces dirt in the soil for the field turf. But I can tell you, It doesn't feel anything like what the old stuff is. It feels as close to natural grass as you could possibly imagine, but actually it feels a little bit better to run a cut on. And that's from this is from a guy who always said that I would never like anything but natural grass.
You know, Rusty, I'm just not ready to join you, brother. I don't do fake Christmas. I don't do fake Christmas trees.
I don't either.
Feeling you. But I'm feeling you, bro. Hey, have a great night, man. Good talking to you. Thank you, brother. Good talk.
Y'all do a great job. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Rusty. Great talking to you. You know, one of the things I like to do here, Cinco, is birth the next generation. It's important to me. Rick Butler's in the studio. He's a youngster over at the University of Tennessee. He's come to me for tutelage, Cinco. Do you have any advice for this young man before he does a score update? And I'm just getting this young guy some practice here on live radio. Do you have a word of advice for him, Russell Smith, you being a veteran in this business? And give out your coordinates, Dubsy, where they can find you.
Yeah, you can check me out weekdays from 3 to 6 on Fox Sports Knoxville, WKGN AM 1340.
Foxville 43.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
where I'm
1340.
At. I'm sorry.
Follow me on Twitter at RussellTheDrive.
Rick, what do you think about being in here in the Raymere studio? Your thoughts on just the whole taking in the ambiance and learning and watching games and just what we do in here?
The sights, the sounds, the smells.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know.
The moonshine I'm drinking while the show's going on. Do you have a thought on that? The moonshine.
No.
No, you don't get into that? Okay.
I mean, the whole reason that I really wanted to get into this kind of radio journalism type
listen
of thing.
Listen to this kid, Cinco. Listen to his voice. Cinco, listen to the pop in his voice. I used to have that pop at one time, Cinco, before I got burned out. Go ahead, young man.
The reason I wanted to get into all this is just so much fun. Everything seemed...
Don't let it be for the money.
Kid. We are three guys sitting in this thing watching football, listening to people take calls, Tennessee football. I mean, it's the dream.
How great is it?
It's absolutely the dream.
Cinco, what do you think of this kid so far?
I like it. If I had to give you one bit of advice, and this is from the heart.
From the heart.
This is 40-some years of listening to some kind of sports talk. The great shows and the great people, Papa Joe Chevalier, other people like that, I'll include Tony
in there. Papa Joe.
The great shows recognize that it's all about the caller.
Yeah.
And the crappy shows, it's all about the host because they just want to get on there and talk. And so if you can check your ego and let the callers get on there and say their thing, you'll have a successful career.
Phyllis is made fine, but I'm a millionaire. It's true.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Jim Rome has the clones. All right, Rick, score update. Go ahead, brother.
All right, yeah. So from the early slate of games, number 11, Florida, went into South Carolina, ended up winning 24-17. Number 3, Ohio State, went into Illinois and rolled 28-3. Number 13, Michigan State, hosted Maryland, won 24-7. Number 18, Northwestern, had a close one against unranked Purdue, but came out with the victory in the end, 21-14. Then to the 3:30 slate of games. At halftime, number 1 Clemson is up 31-17 on Syracuse. Ugh. Also at halftime, Alabama easily up 21-3 over Mississippi State in what should not be that bad of a game. Number 4 Notre Dame up 21-0 with 9 minutes left in the third on Wake Forest. In what they're trying to make the upset of the day, Iowa State hosting number 8 Oklahoma State up 24-14. They were up bigger. Oklahoma State, though, coming back. At halftime, Michigan is up 24-16 on Indiana, and the Navy midshipmen are up 28-7 at SMU with 12 minutes left
great
in the
third. Great job, kid. Great job, kid.
Outstanding.
Thank you.
All right.
Great
thank
job,
you, Tony.
You
the only thing that would have been better is if you'd ended it with that spotlight on the SEC.
Thank you. Cinco. You got to be kidding me. Wait till you see the catch that was just made in the Iowa State game. That's disgusting. Come on, Iowa State. Do it for the memory of Coach Majors.
Losers lose, baby.
Look at this big kid at the goal line here. Let's take his ball away. That's ball skills, as my man Big Will likes to say. Let's, by the way, it looks like old Marquez North back in the day when he used to play here.
Boy, that seems like ages ago.
When did he play? When did Marquez North? Wasn't he back in the 80s?
Yeah, he was catching passes from Alan Cockrell, I believe.
And that's why how about the all-orange unis today, Cinco? They reminded me of the mid-80s, brother.
Not a big fan.
You don't like the all-orange unis, Cinco?
Not a big fan.
The old carrot costumes.
I love them. You like them, Dubs?
I like them.
I love
broken
that color.
Out once every like 5 or 6 years like they used to. I don't
you
like
suck.
This every year.
Well, I'll say this. Our scoreboard update today was presented by our friends at Tennessee Sports Medicine Group. I was holding on tight, and I hope I didn't sprain anything during Rick's update. And they're located at 2260 Sutherland Avenue. They're just going to treat you in a different way. You got to learn more. Go online to 10sportsmed.com. John Cruz and Kloss and those guys, and those folks there are just so impressive with what they do. I just can't say enough great things about Tennessee Sports Medicine Group. Performed miracles for me and Mrs. B, and they got her feeling like a brand new person after years and years and years and years and years of muscle issues. And God, man, I just so appreciate these folks at Tennessee Sports Medicine Group. When you go by, tell them that we sent you here. Tell them Bacilio sent you. 2260 Sutherland Avenue in Knoxville. 10sportsmed.com. See the link at tonybacilio.com. Vanderbilt, 14-10 over Kentucky. How about this Kentucky team, guys, just falling off the table like they do every year?
I love it.
Oh. Back to the phones we go. Lee is up next with us. Lee, hello and welcome.
Hello, Tony.
Hey, Lee. Welcome in, brother.
I've listened to several calls about the field conditions, and I just had to try to shine some light on that. I've had experience in turf management, and by the way, you know, I live in Seymour. Seymour High School and all Spear County schools have artificial turf, and it is incredible. I mean, you walk on it, and it's like, you know, it's not light at all like the old. It's not even in the same realm as the old artificial fields. They can do anything with that now. And I mean, it's just so soft and so, I mean, and it looks incredible. And you don't have a crown. There's no crown, so you don't have to worry about that. And it's just, in the long run, it's a lot cheaper, too. So I really do think that's probably the way to go. But as far as the field, I was on the field today. I covered the game. Seymour Herald, and what one of the problems, now, talk about other places with grass, different grasses can tolerate less sun than others, so I don't know if they've got, you know, what they've had is a prescription type of Bermuda, really, really good grass, and I don't know if they've let it go. It's not as thick, and then that goes dormant like Bermuda, you know, like if you got a Bermuda yard. The first freeze, which we had one about 3 weeks ago, that goes dormant. It's not green, it's brown. And so what they do and what they have done, you'll notice the field's usually really good first 2 or 3 games, and I don't remember the slips and slides. Maybe I missed it, but... and then the field goes dormant, and they have to overseed with rye, or you're going to have a brown field like Kentucky used to have. So they overseed with rye, which is one of the slickest grasses there is. It's beautiful, but that Augusta National, the Masters, its base is Bermuda, but they overseed that with rye, annual rye, which dies out when it gets too hot, and it's a cool weather grass. So they overseed it. And it's beautiful, but you ought to see the people slipping and sliding and falling down in front of the clubhouse on this little, there's a slope there in front of the scoreboard. I mean, it's a terrible grass for footing. And that stuff looked like it was way too thick to me. And the mange look you get, I think, is they didn't overseed evenly with the rye, therefore the dormant stuff is showing through, and then the slips are coming from. You have less slips, you didn't have rye. That's where it's coming from, and they want a green field, so that's what they get. But you know, I don't think they. It looked too heavy to me. It looked too thick. But I right there on it, and I ran out in the middle of the field to get pictures of the team that came running out, and I was afraid I might fall down. That'd been embarrassing. But,
so it's that slick. You were afraid you were going to fall, Lee.
Yes.
and you're telling me that it's overseeded with rye. Well, this is really, that's interesting stuff. Cinco, do you have a thought on what Lee is, the knowledge Lee is dropping on us here?
I'm amazed no one said that yet.
Wow. Okay.
Well, I appreciate the 411, but I'm sitting here watching a game in Ames, Iowa, and that field looks 10 times better than our field.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But they don't get sunlight there.
Yeah,
they're right. Well,
saying.
You know, it's, yeah.
We get too much. Isn't that right? Isn't that
the
house
that Johnny Major's built? Clips around Knoxville 24/7.
Forgot.
It could be a grass that adapts to that area, and we're used, and ours is not.
Lee, you are a turf grass nerd, and you're going to tell me you like a fake field? You people are starting to urinate me off, Lee. You're a turf grass guy.
I know.
Are we going to put it in the? Are we going to put it in the fairways at Augusta?
No, I would prefer real grass. No, I would prefer real grass. But
that's what she said.
You know, I didn't like metal golf clubs when they came out. I liked the old persimmon head, and I liked real bats and all that. But sometimes you have to.
Oh, Lee, you're making me sick.
I'm sorry. I'm not saying they should be that.
Lee's with the dark side.
Huh?
You're with the dark side.
No.
Yeah, you want to see vulcanized rubber pellets kicking up at Neyland Stadium when they're running down the field.
But anyway, what I'm saying is I think the problem, the slip problem is rye.
Rye. Too much rye. Too much rock and rye. Which is like my problem late on a Saturday night. Thank you, Lee.
I love classic cars. They look better than the cars we're driving around in now.
Stop it, Russell. Stop it.
But new cars operate better. They get better gas mileage. They're safer.
You're an idiot.
That's what you do.
Back to the phones we go, which generally, the you're an idiot line is generally where I go when I get just exhausted.
You want to drive around in a Studebaker and take a cross-country trip like it's functional.
Sean Sinclair, tell the living listener where they can find you to hold you responsible for what you've said today, plus do business with you.
Yeah, bring it. We're out in Maryville, Title Town. Know it, love it. You can't live without it. We're on 321, that's at Lamar Alexander Parkway, right down from the Blount Memorial Hospital. 681-3004. There are a lot of great dentists out there, but if you found yourself in a situation where you're looking to change, insurance change, second opinion, whatever, you like what I contribute on the show, maybe you want to chat it up some football, give us a ring. Sean Sinclair DDS, that's S-E-A-N, SinclairDDS.com, and I appreciate that, Tony.
I love it. Sean Sinclair.
I heard that a lot growing up.
Oh, totally. I love it. It's a great spelling of that wonderful name. Back to the phones we go.
I mean, you're like these hipsters. I go into like a Chinese restaurant. I see these guys with the chopsticks in there. You got a fork. A fork and a knife. It's much better than... Why are you sitting there trying to eat your meal with two sticks?
What would you have to listen to music
fork.
On? A CD or a piece of vinyl?
A CD sounds 10 times better than vinyl. Come on.
JM, you're up next. You're completely
There's
idiotic.
Absolutely no difference.
JM, hello and welcome.
What's up, guys?
Skippy!
I'm getting pummeled in here.
It's my boy.
Yes, sir.
By these fake idiots.
There's no idiots in that room. I respect every opinion that's sitting there right now.
I agree. Almost.
That's a good bunch. Tony, you said something back in 2010 that still resonates with me. We were getting ready to have like a big listener watch party for the Memphis game, and Tennessee was 2-6 that year. It was Dooley's first year, and I remember you saying on the air that winds don't grow on trees around here these days. And that we're going to have a good time today and make fun of Memphis and just have a good time as a radio family. And I thought about that, and I was not excited about that game at all. But when you said that, it kind of sparked a little something for me, and I was like, yeah, I'll go down there to that remote and have a good time with everybody. And the place was packed, and we did have a good time. And my point in saying that is that there's a lot of negatives you could take out of today's game, but the Vols won today, and I'm sitting out on my deck listening to you guys. I've got a little fire going out here. There's a little chill in the air, and this stuff man, we don't get that many Saturdays in our lives. And I don't know if that, I don't know if this is the direction you want things to go in, but I just wanted to say that.
No, I think that's exactly right. Listen, I don't, JM, you've known me long enough. I don't care what direction it goes in. Like we had a TC come on here a couple hours ago and had both his daughters that he brought to the game today for the first time, and he was crying his eyes out at how fun it was at the end of the game when we sung the Tennessee Waltz and the Alma Mater, which nobody knows the words to, and all those things. And I really do believe, I mean, next week, for instance, we're going to do another listener watch party at Cassie's. Now, some people would say, the season's over. No, the season's not over. I'm of a belief that any week you have is a special week. Any day you have is a special day. I mean, heck, I've buried some friends this year, not to get too philosophical on anybody. And I bet I'm not the only one listening right now that's buried some friends. So the point is, I can only live in the day I'm in. And as long as that's the case, when my Tennessee Volunteers are playing a football game and we have a chance to gather as a radio family, we will do that. Or if I have a chance to go over there today and watch my brother-in-law march in that alumni band, to quote the great John Ward, we will do that. And that is important. And there are more things that went on in that stadium today than went on between the white lines. And that needs to be talked about because it's homecoming weekend. And the reason, I would love to think, JM, the reason we've had wall-to-wall phone calls for 3 hours is that I'm talented and Russell's talented and Bino's talented and Jerry Colquitt, God bless him, is talented. So that's what we do in the South. When you're going to rip somebody, you say, God bless you, then you rip them. The truth is, there's a lot of passion around this. And there's passion because there are, it's not just about what goes on the field. It's about the tradition. It's about that we've grown up, or some of us have been baptized into this nonsense. And that's the deal. And that's bigger than us. It's bigger than the result on the field. It's hard to comprehend that, but you're right, man. And that's what homecoming was good for today, as far as I'm concerned.
And now, to get to the game and break some of that down, my problem with today was, I think it started in the first quarter after the first score. The play calling became very vanilla, and you could tell what they were trying to do. Let's just keep this simple, blow these guys out. But it didn't work out that way, and I think what they should have done is just let it rip for about 10 or 15 minutes, get up 28 to nothing, and then get your reserves in there, because what you did today is you blew two opportunities. Not only did you blow the opportunity to get guys some valuable playing time, that's not going to come around very often, but you also blew the opportunity to basically make this a bye week for some guys that are beat up. So I don't understand why they didn't just put the gas pedal down and bury these guys in the first quarter. I think they had the opportunity to do that, but the play calling was just sort of mystifying at times early on in the game.
Any thoughts, Cinco?
I think it's 2 weeks in a row. I said last week you get them down 14-0. They were gassed. They were ready to quit, and we just took the foot off the pedal. And you know, the longer you let these guys stay in, anything can happen. But more importantly to me, as JM's referencing, the more you subject your frontline guys to injury. And I mean, how bad would that have been if Chance Hall or Curbison or Hurd or one of these guys would have been stretchered off? That's inexcusable. I think it's another missed opportunity. And I think JM makes a great point.
Yep. No doubt about it. No doubt
yeah,
about it.
So, going forward, Dobbs struggled quite a bit today, guys, and I'm keeping an eye on this Vandy-Kentucky game. Vandy, if they win this game, they still have bowl eligibility out there, and their next two games are, I believe, a home game against Texas A&M, which is winnable for them. And then imagine if they come to Knoxville 5-6 with a chance to make a bowl game. and we fart around with those guys, that, I mean, I've got some concern against that team. You've been talking about Missouri, but looking ahead to Vandy, you know, there's that could be a stressful Saturday.
Vandy just did one of the coolest things that you will see. You don't see it done much. You'll see the highlight tomorrow. Here's what they did. They called timeout and brought the entire, this was a complete setup. They're on the 25-yard line of Kentucky. They called timeout, brought the entire team over to talk about it. Okay, so picture this. They're all huddled around radio. And they're discussing what it is they got to get to. Russell, you're really immature to drag me into those places. You constantly do that
so
when we're
wrong.
Together. I know, and you constantly do that. Anyway, so they're
making
talking
fun
about
of the mentally handicapped.
No, yeah. I'm not.
Yes,
no,
you are.
No,
it's okay.
No, they head back to the huddle. Okay, this guy Cinco acts like he's the odd man out. In other words, we broke the huddle. We came off the sidelines with 12, but I'm not going to get in the huddle officially. So he acts like he's walking off the field. He's got his head down. He's like loafing. They snap the football, and the kid is wide open, and he goes in for a touchdown, untouched. I mean, nobody even saw the thing coming. It was so...
Georgia did that to Tennessee one year.
You see it every once in a while. They pulled it off. It was beautiful the way they set it up. And poor Kentucky, they are folding like a cheap tent right now.
They benched Toll.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yep.
There you go.
You got nothing.
And Tolles, by the way, I'm with Cinco. Tolles has arm talent. Tolles can play in the NFL if he gets an opportunity with the right team. He's got arm talent. I mean, he's going to get beat up there. Obviously, you got to, you know, it's death by a thousand cuts when you play in that offense.
I think we can end the Mark Stoops for Hall of Fame campaign.
Oh, forgot about that. He has got great players now, and they're coming, and they're going to overtake Tennessee. I remember that. Hey,
good thing they sealed him up with that big raise and extension last year.
Sugar high. JM, thank you so much for your...
See you, Skip.
And you know what, JM? The problem for Kentucky is, think about this, JM,
yeah.
You're a Kentucky fan. They don't even get their bowl game anymore. We used to be their bowl game at the end of the year. Now that we got rescheduling, they don't even get their bowl game.
Isn't it funny how, like, the past decade or so, they're like, people will fashion them as SEC East contenders, and
yes.
Then you turn around a few weeks later, and they're not even going to make a bowl game.
I love that. In fact,
yep.
I love how we have been absolutely terrible, and I mean terrible. I'm talking like all-time bad, the history of time and eternity bad, and they have only one win against us, and that's all they're going to get. That's my favorite
thing. I want to throw one comparison out to you and see what you guys think about this.
Yeah,
Butch Jones football is starting to remind me of Jerry Green basketball. You got all that talent. Every now and then you're going to win a big game. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Is that a good comparison?
It's too soon, but if he gets mad, he's a pretty sensitive guy, this Butchie Jones. Thank you, JM. He is capable of telling our fan base to go to Kmart. This guy's capable of losing his junk. If he does that, I got a piece of advice for him because he did it this year. He said, I'm making a list. You know, I got my list in my back pocket. Can't do that stuff with your fan base and your media. You can't say stuff like that. And I don't know whether he's talking about the media or the fans because he didn't really specify there. But Cinco, if he gets off to the start he doesn't want to have next year, this is a guy that could lose his junk, couldn't he?
Well, you know, we're talking about you earlier, something I was hoping you'd get to me about this. I think given the market,
go ahead,
Jones,
yeah.
He's going to get a raise.
Huge raise.
And given the market, he deserves it. This place can't have another turnover. Everyone can get high and mighty and,
yep.
And talk about their principles. And you don't want to be hiring another coach right now. That's ridiculous. But what I would do is I wouldn't discuss any kind of raises or extensions till after signing day. I wouldn't even think about it until after that and see how that plays out.
Till after signing day?
After signing day, correct.
What if he says to you, I mean, hypothetically, what if he says to you, Virginia Tech wants me? Which could happen, by the way.
Well, then you, if you want to keep him, which I would want to, you match it. I mean, I don't believe there's a Butch Jones out there on the market right now that wants to come to Tennessee. I mean, everyone can have Justin Fuente or the guy at Houston, that's fine, but they haven't done anything. They haven't recruited anything like Butch Jones has. So I think we get kind of lost in the principle or the, you know, we're not there yet, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, go try to find somebody tomorrow that's doing what Butch Jones is doing right now.
I totally feel you.
Then what would you have to pay that guy?
No, I mean, Kevin Sumlin makes, for the sake of the conversation, Butch Jones makes 3.5, which is obscene. Kevin Sumlin makes $5 million a year, and he's done nothing. The Stoops guy at Kentucky makes 3-plus now, and he literally has done nothing. I mean, he's done nothing. Like a Sergeant Schultz, nothing. So...
Well, go ahead and add 1.8 for Chavis down at Texas A&M.
That's just obscene. And these guys want to tell me that they get upset when I say it's time to pay college football players. When you have coordinators making well over $1 million and it's all over the place, coaching college football, I mean, are you kidding me? Let's get
The guy that needs a raise is Gillespie, because every single game, his charges have appeared to me to give 110% regardless of the circumstances.
No question.
And I, without a doubt, he is the coach of the year, in my opinion. It's not even close.
Dustin's up next with us. Dustin, hello and welcome.
Fellas, what's going on?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Dustin.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch not one snap of the game. I had to work today, but I did get to see and meet and talk to one of the walk-on kids, never play, never will. His mom and dad, they made a long trip from I don't even remember where. And to hear them talk about their son and what he's doing, his day today, that, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I didn't see any of the game. That was a pretty cool thing to see, because in their eyes, their son was bigger than Josh Dobbs, and he'll never, you know what I mean. That was pretty cool. I got to see and talk to his parents for about 15 minutes today. I'm not going to say his name. Doesn't really
matter.
What did they
tell you? What all things? Just give us inside. The fans love to know this. We like to feel good about what we're doing here.
They didn't have a whole lot of money. They've been saving for a while to come up here and see their son walk across the field. His mom got to get flowers and stuff like that. That was not anything. That was everything to these people. And just the time, I've been ripping Butch for a long time and continue, whatever, that's not the point. The time that he's actually taken for people like them was something people never hear about, because he's not going to talk about it. But he took about an hour and a half yesterday to talk to them specifically about their son.
That's great. And I love hearing that. That's how you win. I love hearing. So you got to share stuff like that with me. And then we share it with others. That's beautiful, man.
Yeah, so I just figured I'd drop that in. I don't really have much to talk about the game and all this other stuff.
Thank you. That's a great story. I love hearing that. I love feeling good, man.
I mean, as far as, again, the game, don't know much about it. I'm just kind of at the point now, I'm really starting to embrace things you said a long time ago. We only get a few of these. I'm starting to really think that Tennessee, we're not really much about winning the big, we're not the big pitcher anymore. So
what do you mean by that? We've had top recruiting classes. Wait a second here.
We don't do nothing on the field.
Huh?
We didn't beat anybody worth anything.
Yet.
It's coming next year.
I'm a Cubs fan. I've been waiting on that year for 115 years now. That's fine.
Well, that's true. If that's born from being a Cubs fan, you're entitled to feel like that. Thank you. It's a great point. Because you guys will never win. Now,
no.
Cubland, you're never winning.
Never.
But you'll have fun.
Have the best pizza, Russell.
And you have great pizza in the Windy City, and you get to...
If you like eating a bowl of tomato soup in a bread bowl, I suppose you have good pizza.
I love Wendy's. I love, yeah, no question. I love Chicano-style pizza. Thank you, brother.
See ya.
Cinco, isn't that a great thing that he just shared with us, that he spent 90 minutes with a walk-on's family yesterday?
Yeah, it really is.
I love hearing that.
And I don't think that's an isolated instance. You know, we get so focused on the scoreboard.
Yep.
And we even took, you know, we've talked about how he is, I mean, he's A++, you know, Sunday through Friday. And you know what, that may be taken as a backhanded compliment. It's really not, because I think that what he's doing, there have been some things that he's learning about that we pointed out. But again, you know, where are you going to find a Butch Jones in this market, given the other jobs, that wants to come here and will do what he's doing? Dustin's right. We haven't won the those games yet, but yet. And, you know, when people talk about all this talent, there is a lot of talent on this team, and maybe we are top 15 talent, but a lot of that talent, like Khalil McKenzie, is not getting on the field yet. They're just not ready. And I think a lot of the mood is going to change here in the next couple of years. I truly believe that.
Back to our phones we go. Final call tonight is we're going to go over 3 hours. And Cinco, thank you for being a warrior and hanging in there with the great Dubsy Smith and myself. I'll be back with you at 11 o'clock. I do want to remind you, 11 Eastern, right here, same time, same bat channel. I also want to remind you, as soon as the show ends, if you missed earlier portions, we're going to upload it, so you'll be able to get it as soon as you want to hear it. I want to thank my friends at Smartway, Dalton Bearing, and Hydraulics. I want to also say to you that as soon as the basketball game goes final Monday night, race fans, we will be live with you talking about Tennessee and Georgia Tech Monday night in the O'Rena down in Atlanta, GA. So it's
Can I ask something, Tony?
Please.
I want to say, in all sincerity, God bless the people of Paris and those folks over there. And I hope and pray that the leadership in this world comes to their senses and takes care of this problem, because I think they've been dealing with kid gloves with this deal. And, I mean, if you can turn a horrible situation into a positive, I hope this is a catalyst to eliminating those folks. So
I mean,
here's
the deal. What those people did last night, they tried to get, there were four homicide bombers, or at least three, tried to get their way into that football game last night, soccer match, Germany and France. And if it weren't for the fact that the president was there, that's what they're saying now, the president was on hand there, which made the security
yeah,
that much tighter. They would have been able, under normal circumstances, they believe, to get in. It just so happens that he was in the building, so they had to settle for trying to blow people up outside. And the goal was, after the first one went off, when the people come out, we're going to detonate. And it was a coordinated deal.
Sure.
The truth is that they attacked things that we hold near and dear to us here in our society. They went into a music venue last night where people were there at the end of a week to enjoy a concert and shot that thing up and were just killing people, just executing people. Can you imagine that in a place like Tennessee Theater? And I've talked to some people that are concert freaks on a board that I go on. I was on today, and they were saying that they've been over there, and it's a 1,500-seat hall. It's supposed to have some of the best acoustics around this hall where it was. Some of the best acts in the world have played that place.
Yeah.
And they went in there and shot that place up. These people must be dealt with. We must cut the head of the snake off, and it's got to end. It's got to end now.
Well,
Bobby, go ahead.
You don't get in an argument with an idiot, and you don't play by rules when the other person doesn't play by rules. If they got a gun, you bring a bomb. You know what I mean?
I'm done.
It's time to negotiate.
I'm done.
It's time to call, and it's not about religion.
No, it's time to root them out. It's time to root them out. You're either for us or you're against us, and it's time to root those people out.
In a covert way.
Let's go to the phones and get Roberto in here, and we'll finish things up here. Go ahead, sir.
What's up, guys? How are you?
Hey, man. Welcome in.
Didn't mean for the conversation to go that way, but I'm kind of glad it did. I want to have a say on that, but first I'd like to say, JM and Dustin are right. Like, can we only get 12 to 13 of these days a year? Let's enjoy them. I didn't even go to the game today. I gave my tickets to people who had never been, and that meant a lot to me, because that's somebody else being indoctrinated, as your son would say, into the worst thing ever. But it's something that I'm passionate about. My friend got to take his kids for the first time ever, and his kid's 7. This kid will never forget that. And I would pay any amount of money to give that experience to young people, because I had it when I was 4.
I'll never forget what it looked like when I came down the concourse and first saw the ice in the Philadelphia Spectrum, or the field in Neyland Stadium, Or Franklin Field, the field at Franklin Field. I mean, I can picture most venues I've walked in for the first time. When I was a kid, how bright they were, what it smelled like, what was there, what the food tasted like. But just so, it was just so cool seeing my heroes in front of me.
Hell, I used to get goosebumps going to Bill Meyer Stadium to see minor league baseball when I was a little kid.
I love, exactly. I love old Bill Meyer Stadium.
Well, you know, and knowing those experiences and what those kids are experiencing for the first time, it makes me happy. And, you know, my tradition is the first day it drops below 32 degrees, which it will today, in my household, we have hot buttered rum and we watch football typically. You know? And that's what we're going to do tonight. And I want those traditions to carry on with other people, you know? I just think it's so important in the world.